This morning we celebrate the Lord's table. And I quote unquote put the Lord's because it is truly His table that we celebrate this morning. And so, let me set the table, pun intended, this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have your bulletins, follow along with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me, if you would, as we start in verse 17. Paul addressing this Corinth group of believers, or this believers in Corinth. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you because you have come together. It is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. Well, first of all, there must be factions among you in order that the genuine might be recognized. When you come together, it is not for the Lord's supper that you eat. For in eating, each goes ahead with his own meal, and one goes hungry and another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say? Shall I commend you? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that when the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, and so that eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many are ill and some have died. But if we have judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. So that when you come together, it's not for judgment. About the other things I'll come, or I'll discuss when I come. Gracious Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for Paul's admonition and instruction and exhortation. And Lord, I ask that you would prepare High Point Church, your church, that we be prepared for this supper, this Lord's table. God, may your Holy Spirit speak to us. May the very words that come out of my mouth be given power to change people's hearts and minds. May your word do that conviction. For we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the very words of Jesus Christ. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Growing up in a family of nine, I had seven, we were one of seven kids. I have three older sisters and two older brothers and a younger brother. And it wasn't often, being in a family of nine, that we went out for dinner. Okay, I look over at Tim O'Toole and he's probably saying, "Yeah, I know that kind of feeling." It wasn't often that we went out to dinner because, well, first of all, putting nine of us together is never a good thing, especially when we were younger, us boys. But I remember one restaurant in particular that we used to go to. It went by the name of Kronk's Cafe in Denison, Iowa. Now, Kronk's Cafe, it was a little more expensive than KFC. I remember they actually put this cloth on my plate. And I wondered, why are they putting cloths on my plates? That was a napkin, by the way. for those of us on the east side. I remember seeing two forks and thinking, man, they messed up. I remember the glasses were made of glass and not red cups from Pizza Hut. The dinner was different. We all knew when we went to Kronk's, it was going to be different. There was no jacking around at Kronk's Cafe. There was no begging my mom for quarters so I could play Frogger. We knew that this dinner was different. It was special. All of our attitudes changed when we ate at Kronk's Cafe. Everything was different about that dinner. Everything has got to be different about the Lord's table. See, the Corinthian church didn't catch on that it was the Lord's table that they were celebrating. This table was supposed to be different. And Paul was rebuking them for it. Now, if you know anything about the Corinthian church, let me just give you a little bit of a context. These were a sorry bunch of Christians. They were a divided group, lifting up men that brought them to Christ, that they had some sort of more influence, as some followed Paul and some followed Apollos, some followed Christ. They were divided amongst the person who led them to Christ. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I just want to build a little context with you. For in the part, it has been reported to me that from Chloe's people that there's quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is this, that when each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, I follow Peter or Cephas, I follow Christ, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Amongst other things, this church in 1 Corinthians were sexually perverse. Any number of things were going on. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 with me in verse 1. It says, and actually reporting me that there is sexual immorality among you, and of the kind that is not even tolerated amongst the pagans, for a man has his wife's, or his father's wife. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. We see again, now concerning matters of which you wrote, is it good for man to not have sexual relations with this woman? To not have sexual relations with a woman. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 1, we see that these Christians were suing each other. In chapter 6, verse 1, when one of you has a grievance against each other, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous and instead of the saints? So in other words, they were going to the law and suing one another. They were bragging about the gifts that they had, which all of our gifts came from God, amen? Listen, this church was a mess. I got to tell you, I read 1 Corinthians, and it really makes me feel good about High Point Church and our dysfunctions. Now, seriously, though, if you were to think honest about what's going on in the Corinthian church, we are not that far off, are we not? High Point Church, divisions, partiality, anger, bitterness, and I'm just talking amongst believers. They weren't a perfect church. But praise God, there isn't one, is there? The focus of my attention this morning really is going to be on the latter part of this text in 1 Corinthians. But you have to understand, they were totally messing everything up, and yet God was going to use them. And God's going to use High Point Church for His glory, in spite of ourselves sometimes. We look at the verses in 27 through 34. Just to start out with, and I'll come back to the communion part with the bread and the juice. But I want to start and focus in on the text of the scripture where Paul is admonishing these very Christians to prepare themselves for this very dinner, the Lord's table. And so I want to bring you to two things. Just two things to bring your attention to. Here's the first thing. It's found in verses 27 through 32. I'm going to read them again. But the first thing I want you to do as we prepare ourselves for this Lord's table, for this communion service, is that Paul is saying that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God is saying, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Let's read verses 27 through 32 again. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Now I'm going to explain what that means here in a little bit. Let a person examine himself. Then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who drinks, or anyone who eats and drinks, verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many are ill and weak, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. And so then, my brothers, when we come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it's not for judgment. Listen, followers of Christ at High Point Church, when we come to the Lord's table, Jesus wants you to examine yourself. And I'm going to talk about two different people here. But first of all, I want to talk about, in the context of this very scripture, Jesus is speaking, Paul is speaking to believers in Christ, followers of Jesus Christ. The Corinthians, I want you to notice something. The Corinthians were not commanded to examine themselves to see whether or not they were Christians. Do you get that? They are not examining whether they're truly Christians or not. Paul is assuming they're Christians. And they're screwing it up. And so what Paul is saying here is, examine yourself, Christian. I see it potentially as two ways. He's saying this. He's saying, discern. The scripture says here, let a person examine himself. And verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning. The word literally means to thoroughly look back and forth at yourself. It's thoroughly examining yourself. We're talking about an attitude here. What Paul is saying to the Corinthians, what I'm trying to say to you, is when we come to the Lord's table, we need to check our attitudes. Why are we celebrating the Lord's table today? What is God trying to do in your life today? The Corinthians were taking this very dinner table and turning it into a party. Turning it in a way in which they were discouraging other believers in Christ. The very thing that they were supposed to examine themselves in sin, they were in part sinning themselves. You know, Paul references the body here. He says this in verse 28 and 29. Let us examine himself and so eat in the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. What is Paul saying? What body is he talking about? Here's what I think he's talking about. Two things. We're talking about the physical body of Jesus Christ, because he uses in verse 27, he uses whosoever, therefore. Whenever the Bible uses therefore, it points back to the previous verses. And in the previous verses, Paul is addressing the communion passage, the bread and the wine, and specifically the body of Jesus. And so what the Corinthians were forgetting is that the reason they came together was to remember what Jesus did. That he died for their sins, and yet they took this opportunity to sin. The other body that Paul is talking about is the body of Christ. Why do I think that? Well, because you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he goes on and talks about the very body of Christ. Verse 12, I don't have this up there, but just listen to me. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so that we are in Christ. Paul is talking about the body, the church. When the Corinthians were coming together, they weren't thinking about Jesus, and they weren't thinking about the body of Christ. They had an attitude problem. The Bible says that they were in an unworthy manner. They were not judging themselves, that they were participating in communion in an unworthy manner. Well, what is he talking about here? Well, again, I'm going to get a little bit academic here, but we have to understand the context of this verse. When Paul uses the word unworthy, the natural question you're asking yourself, are any of us worthy? Are any of us worthy to participate in communion? Are any of us worthy of what Jesus did on the cross for us? What's your answer? The answer is no. And so is Paul saying that we have to come cleaning ourselves up? We need to come, you know, making sure we're all looking good and make sure we're all cleaned up with our sins? No, Paul's not saying that. What Paul is saying is you're coming to this communion table in an unworthy manner. It's an adverb describing the communion service, the eating and the drinking. It wasn't a time to sin. It was a time for God to work on our attitudes. The Corinthian church had an attitude problem. And maybe you're here today and you're coming to the communion table with no confession, only pride. No humbleness, just pride. No repentance, just worldly grief. We come to the communion table to be examined by God. Not to examine others, but for God to examine us. It is an attitude adjustment. And some of us, let me just say, all of us need our attitudes adjusted. To come to the communion table anticipating that God isn't going to do something to you is the wrong attitude. You know, I look at this passage and I wonder how many times have I come to the communion table thinking I had the right attitude, when all along it was just academic. I've done it before. Listen, when we come to the Lord's table, like going to Kronk's Cafe, but way better. You come ready for God to change your attitude. How you treat other believers specifically. And then by doing so, the world will see something different about you. You know, this isn't in the context, but I think it's a perfect time to just share this. You know, oftentimes we think the examination is an examination of whether you're in the faith or not. Examine whether you're truly a believer or not. And I'm here to tell you, that's not the context of this scripture. Paul is not addressing unbelievers here. He is not saying, examine and find out if you're truly saved. He's not saying that. He's saying, listen, examine your attitude on whether you're coming to communion with the right attitude. But I want to address something on a side. This is a perfect opportunity to examine whether you're truly in the faith. Listen, God's desire is to share the truth with you. And here's the truth. Are you ready? You are a sinner in need of God's grace. You are a sinner deserving the wrath of God. Do you know what that means? We say it a lot here. Not a lot of churches are going to talk about the wrath of God, but I will. Why? Because God talks about it. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the saving work of Jesus on the cross, you will face the wrath of God deservedly so. Deservedly so. Because you've rejected the one whom took your sins. If you're here today and you have never confessed your need for God's saving work through Jesus Christ, I implore you, what are you waiting for? Examine yourself. You may not have tomorrow. And follower of Christ, as you're examining yourself, you know, the Bible tells you there in that examination, list, there are some that are ill and there's some that are dying because they didn't examine themselves. What does that mean? Well, it means you continually, as a Christian, live a life without any desire for God to change your attitude. Now, can that happen? Everyone shake your head. Can you be a follower of Christ and continue to reject God's working in your life? Yes! And that's why Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6 says this. And the Lord disciplines the ones He loves, and He chastens every son whom He receives. Listen, God's desire is to spank you sometimes because you need an attitude adjustment. How many of you have kids? And sometimes their attitudes are like the stinkers. You know, what do you say? Oh, you know, just bad attitude. No, boom! Change your attitude. I'll change it for you. Right? Now, it doesn't mean I don't like my kids. I love them. Sometimes I love those spankings. The giving of the spankings, sorry. Listen, when you come to this communion table, when you come to this Lord's table, and you want God to examine you, to check your attitude, you are welcoming God to do an amazing work. Through the work of the Holy Spirit that God has given you, the third person of the Trinity, to expose the nakedness, expose you for the sinner that you are, God wants to change your attitude. The second thing, quickly. The second thing that God wants to do through this Lord's table, that Jesus, He wants to examine. He wants you to examine yourself. He wants you to come in with an attitude ready for God to do a work. And it leads me to the second point. Not only does God want you to examine yourself, but He wants you to expect that God is going to do a work. Look at verses 31 through 32 again with me. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. So that when you come together, it is not for judgment. Listen, when you come to this Lord's table, you are expecting God to do a work in your life. You are expecting God to do something. Listen, Paul says, go eat at home. Don't come hungry so that you're eating all the food and then there's people that don't have any food that are coming and they're starving. Prepare yourself. When you go to the Lord's table, you are preparing yourself. You are expecting yourself that this is a different time. This is not a time just to jack around. This is a serious moment. This is a time to do business with God. And then expect God to do works. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me again. Paul addresses this. He says this, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Listen, when we come to the communion table, we cannot just say, listen, I'm going to do what I want to do whenever I want to do it. You cannot come with that attitude. Listen, if you come with that attitude, expect to be disciplined. You know, the Bible even says that God could take you out. Now that's a perfect act of grace. Listen, we might think that God taking us away from this earth is a bad thing. But if you're a follower of Christ, it's a victory. The reason he takes you out is because you're not giving him glory on this side of eternity. And so in the last act of grace on this side of eternity, he decides to take you home. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to stay here and give God glory. Is that your desire? Amen? Expect God to do a work in your life today. Expect that when you come to the Lord's table and you're confessing sin and when you're coming with an attitude of, God, I know you can work in my life. Well, then guess what? God will, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Apart from God, you can do nothing. I was taking a walk earlier this week with a good friend, Corey. On Wednesday, I was telling him about areas in my life that God has given me great victory. And you guys know my story, but addicted to drugs and making fake IDs and any number of things that I used to do. And I was talking to Corey and I said, you know, Corey, it's amazing that I have no desire to do coke right now. Praise the Lord. I have no desire to make a fake ID. Praise the Lord. And part of me is like, why? I used to love that stuff. Why don't I have a desire to do that? And as we were talking, I said, Corey, because the gospel's better. Because the good news of Jesus is better. That's why I'm not snorting coke. Because the gospel's better. But then we turned our attention to other sins in our life. Lust of the flesh. And I began to wonder, why am I not getting complete victory in that area? Though God has given me much victory since the days of high school and college and after college. God's given me great victory. But not the kind of victory that I would love. Why is that, Corey? Well, because the gospel isn't better, is it? Listen, when I expect God to do a work in my life, he will do a work in my life. If my attitude is one that wants God to change me. Or do I just want to hang on to that idol as hard as I can because I don't want to let it go? Listen, when I come to this table, when I sit in that chair and I confess sin, the same sin that I committed last month and the same sin that I committed 3 months ago, was I expecting God to change me? Or was I just saying, you know, God, thanks again for the forgiveness of sin. I appreciate it. No. I need to come with an attitude expecting God's going to change me. You need to come to this table expecting God to change you. Because the gospel is better, and that's the gospel you believed in. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins. It is finished. It is better. We come to the Lord's table. It's a time when we sit down and we have family discussions. You know, it's a time to get personal, isn't it? Tough love, but it's love nonetheless. David writes in Psalm 34:8, he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. It is good to be at this table." When your attitude is ready for this table, it is good. It is so good to be here. So when you hold that bread, as we see in verses 23 and 24, Paul admonished him, listen, I received these very instructions from the Lord. When you're doing it wrong, you're offending God. Do it right. You hold that bread. And you remember Jesus and what he did for you. You look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But Jesus says, listen, when you hold that bread, it's a representation of the Passover lamb. Jesus is our Passover lamb. as illustrated in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Your lamb. The lamb. The lamb. He's our lamb if you know Christ as your Savior. When you hold that bread, you remember that Jesus is your Passover lamb. And that because you cannot live a sinless life, you needed the God-man to be the sacrificial atonement for your sins. When you hold that bread, it should bring you to an attitude adjustment, a confession of sin, knowing that that very sin is stealing God's glory. When you hold that cup, verse 25, it's a remembrance of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the blood, there is no remission of sins, Hebrews 9:22 says. We look back in Leviticus 17:11, where we see that the very circulation, it was well known amongst the Hebrews, the Jews, that circulation came in the blood, and so life was in the blood. Praise God for William Harvey in the 1600s, who discovered that circulation came in the blood. Even though William Harvey was about 3,000 years too late. Moses wrote about it. Why is that important? Because if Jesus didn't die, there is no remission of sins. So when you hold that cup, you thank God for taking the wrath for you. You rejoice in Jesus' forgiveness and ask God to do a work in your life. So, we do communion a little bit different here. Many of you have been here before, but if you haven't, what's going to take place is I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to do a blessing, ask God for His blessing on this table. And then Jake's going to play a couple songs. And when you're ready, when you're doing business with God, when you've come to this table with the right attitude, then you go back. You grab that bread, you grab that cup of juice, and you come back to your table. Don't partake yet. You wait till we can commune together. But you do business with God. You ask God to make an attitude adjustment in your life right now. And then for those of you who do not know Christ, you avoid that table like the plague. Because when you take that table and you have not placed your faith in Christ, you are making a mockery of this table. But I'm here to tell you, don't make a mockery of this table. Believe! Place your trust in Christ for His salvation and then go back with great joy and receive communion for the first time with your Lord and your Savior because He died for you. May today be the day of your salvation. May the acceptable time be today as God helps you. Receive Christ and the gift that He has given you in Himself. And then go back and celebrate communion with the rest of the church at High Point. Oh, this is a good time to be at dinner. It's a good time to be at the Lord's table if you know what kind of table you're at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my prayer is that myself, I only speak for myself here, but Lord, I want to pray for all of us here that our attitudes would be ready to be examined and then, Lord, to expect You to work these things out in our lives. God, we know that that comes with discipline. We know that comes with a hard word. We know that comes with hard love, but we know it's all good because You're good. Jesus, thank You for Your work. Thank You for Your redeeming work on the cross. Thank You for dying for my sins and giving me eternal life. Thank You for rising from the dead, giving me victory over the very death that I can never have victory over unless I have faith in You. Oh God, use this time to change my attitude, to make my life a life that would be glorifying to You. Lord, I don't want to go to this table in an unworthy manner. I want to go to this table wanting You to do business with me. May that take place in your church at High Point. May confession take place. Repentance take place. Brothers and sisters loving each other take place because of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.